God had a message for us last week. I believe he has a message for us this morning again tonight. I have no idea what Bart's going to speak on tonight, but I know what God has given me. As I lay in bed, God said, the first week you are, this was when Pastor had already asked me to speak. He said, you are to speak on seeking. The word gave me the word seek. The second one he gave me was, silver and gold have I none. I was like, okay. So as God began to bring this forth, excuse me. As God began to bring this forth, if you have a need in your life this morning, God is here to meet this need. I wrestled with him, and he won. And you have to know that today I'm going to be obedient to God. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts 3, Acts, chapter 3. And verse 1 says, and now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Father God, this morning, I am so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for what you have put in my heart. I'm thankful, Father God, that you are in control. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do in this place today, in faith believing. I pray over your word today. I pray over your messenger today, that every word that comes forth will be anointed by you. I pray for the people today, that they will have ears, we all will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in this place today. Father, manifest your presence in this place, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go back to verse 1 and 2. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They did things a little bit different then than what we do now. Verse 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So let's establish here. First of all, it was 3:00 in the afternoon. It was the ninth hour, which meant it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a certain lame man. There may have been other lame men there. We don't know. There may have been lame women. We don't know. But what I know one thing, the Bible says there was a certain lame man. And that's who we're going to talk about, is this certain lame man. If you go to chapter 4, verse 22, and it says, it has continued on to talk about this man. In verse 42, it says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So what we know here is this man was over 40 years old. So he was not a child, but he had been carried from birth. He was born this way. He had no use of his legs. He was born a lame man. And thus, from the time he came from his mother's womb, he was carried. He had to be carried. Even as he grew up and became a man, he was carried. Every day he was carried and laid at the temple gate called Beautiful. And why was he laid there? Every single day. He was laid there to ask for alms. He needed some money to live. He had no way of making a living. So he would ask alms of the people as they came into the temple. Okay. Verse 3 and 4 says, which this is the lame man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now, what is an alms? An alms is a contribution. It's a charitable gift. It's you go by someone, they have a cup, you drop in. In those days, you dropped in a coin or two. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now, first of all, this lame man saw Peter and John. Now, I don't know if you're getting the picture here, but this was the ninth hour. This was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was the custom to go to the temple to pray. They were going to have a prayer service three times. Three times a day, the Jews observed. Morning, which was at 9 o'clock, afternoon, which was 3 o'clock, and the evening, just at sunset. So they were all going into the temple. And I can just, you know, if you kind of let your imagination kind of go, I'm imagining the hustle and the bustle to get in there. I don't know what was in there exactly. I don't know if they had chairs like we do. Obviously not. But I don't know if they stood to pray. I don't know what their custom was exactly. But I know that there was a crowd of people that was going in because that was their custom. Now, somehow or another, this lame man saw Peter and John. At the same time that this lame man caught eyes with Peter and John caught eyes with this lame man, okay? They connected. So, verse 3 through 5, in the Message says, when they saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. We have people that ask for handouts nowadays. There are people who need handouts. There are people that we need to see if they, and ask God, do they really need a handout from us? Because there are people who are asking alms. They may not be sitting there with a cup in their hand, unable to move, unable to get up and walk and go wherever they want to, but there are people in need, and we need to see those needs. Verse 4, Peter, with John at his side, looked at him straight in the eye and said, "Look here, look here." The lame man's need was seen. Peter and John saw that the lame man had a need. And they said, "Look here." And the lame man looked up, expecting to get something from them. Expectation. Now, how many days, if you counted all of his days, say from the time he was 10, that would have been over 30 years that he had been laid at this gate beautiful to ask alms. So he knew that sooner or later somebody would drop something into his cup. It's just the way it happened. He looked up at probably a lot of different people as they were going by, expecting them to give something to him. And it was no different for Peter and John. He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." They didn't have a bag of money that they were carrying around. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." That's what they knew he was expecting from them, was silver and gold. Oh, sometimes we seek for what we have need of in places where it's not going to fix the problem. It's not going to take care of the issue. Only God can do that for us. "Silver and gold have I none." I could not help but think about silver. Silver can buy most everything that we desire. In the Bible days, Jesus was bought, the betrayal of Jesus, I should say, for 40 pieces of silver. Betrayal can be bought. There's so many things that can be bought with this. But again, there are things that no money can buy. Money cannot buy you happiness. If it does, then when you have no money, you're unhappy. If you're happy when you have money and sad when you don't, you're living on feelings. If certain things in your life make you happy and certain things in your life make you sad, you're seeking the wrong things from the wrong source. Only Jesus can fulfill our need. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." That was interesting to me. What is such? What is such that I have? "Such as I have, give I thee." What is such? What did Peter and John have? What was such that Peter and John had that they were willing to give to him, since they had no money to give him, which is what he expected? They saw the need. They obviously saw the need. Obviously, I'm going to say hundreds of people walked by and saw the need. But Peter and John keyed into the need there. However, they looked beyond the need of the physical. They could clearly see the man. They probably had seen him before. If they had gone to the temple before and he was through that gate, they obviously had probably seen this lame man there before. But this particular day, this certain man caught their eye, and they saw the need. Knowing what he expected from them, and they couldn't deliver. "Silver and gold have I none." That's what you're asking for, mister. "I can't give you any. I have none. But such as I have, give I thee." Well, what in the world is such? Well, let's see what we have. If you want to turn to 1 John 2, 1 through 2. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." What is such? We have an advocate with the Father. And who is the advocate? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here they said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it's all one and the same person. It's Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. An advocate is a person who pleads for or in behalf of another, an intercessor, someone who's a go-between. Well, that makes sense, right? Jesus came, the Father sent Jesus. He accomplished what he was sent to for on this earth. He ascended back to the Father. Now the word says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He's going between us and the Father God to let God know they have accepted what I did down there. They have accepted me as their Lord and Savior. Therefore, I plead for them. I'm interceding for them. I'm standing between them and the wrath that God has towards sin. Okay, now let's go to, just a second. And he is the propitiation. What in the world is propitiation? Simple. He's the reconciler. He reconciled us, our relationship with God that was lost in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned and was driven from the garden, we were separated from God. Why? Because sin separates us from God. Even when Jesus was dying on the cross and he had taken all of the sins of all the world on him, the Father had to turn away from him because he could not look on sin. Don't kid yourself today. Sin separates us from God. Always has, always will. God's word stands firm. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, let's see what else, there are other such that we have. Hebrews 4, let's start with verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Well, we heard Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ the righteous, and now Jesus, the Son of God. All one and the same people. We cannot seek anywhere else but Jesus Christ. He has the answers. He is who we have to give forth. Sometimes we give this. Sometimes we see a need and we give this. But sometimes this cannot solve a problem. This cannot do what someone is seeking it to do. They need Jesus, and we have such to give forth. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. Now let's stop right there. When I went to school, a double negative canceled out itself. Does it still? Okay, so let's read it this way. We have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And verse 16, bold letters here on my page. Let us therefore why? What's the basis? The base of it is that we have a high priest. Therefore, we are to come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Money can't buy that. Money cannot buy that. And you're going to find people out there who need something. They know they need something, and they're expecting something. They're expecting more than likely this, and it's not going. I don't care how empty the cup is, how full the cup is. It's not going to meet their need. Okay, now let's go to 1 John 5. Let's see what other such we have. 1 John 5:14 says, And this is the confidence that we have in him. What do we have in this verse? Confidence in him. How can you have confidence in someone? Because they can't fail you. You can have confidence in something or someone if they absolutely cannot fail you. We put our confidence in things and in people. But the word says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have confidence that we have the petitions that we set before him. That's not every want that we want. But Jesus, I want this and I want that. He supplies what we need. He has supplied everything that we have need of already. And to continue on back to Acts 3, verse, the bottom part of verse 6 says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Simple words, very simple words. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. My Bible doesn't say just some power. It says all. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Who said that? Jesus did. Jesus Christ the Nazareth, Jesus Christ the righteous, Jesus the Son of God. Verse 7 in Acts 3, and he took him, who took him? Who's him? Peter took the lame man by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately, how fast is immediately? That fast. Now, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Have you heard the song? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I heard that when I was a kid. It's right out of the Word. Right out of the Word. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now remember, we talked about this. A great crowd of people, they were all going to this prayer service, hustling and bustling. And all the people saw him, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They obviously had seen him there before. They knew who he was. When God does something in our life and we share it, we display it, and people see changes in us, then God gets the glory. Nobody else can. This man for over 40 years was lame. From the time he came from his mother at birth, he was lame. They knew him. They had seen him every day. It says daily he was laid at this gate. There was familiarity with them, with this man. And all of a sudden, the scene changed. And he was no longer either laying there, asking for alms, Nor was he being carried, and by the time he was a man, I'm sure it probably was a man on one side and a man on the other side like this, probably dragging him along to lay him there. There was familiarity. They knew what he was. They knew what he'd been, a lame man. They knew his past. All of a sudden, they're seeing him walking and leaping and praising God. What in the world? And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They couldn't figure it out. Sometimes we get such in a rut. Oh, I've had this problem for so long. This is just me. We go do the same things because that's what we're limited to do in our condition. All of us are there. We become familiar with where we are. We become familiar with our handicap, if you will. And I will venture to say we all have one. We all have something that hinders us. And I believe God is in this place today to meet some needs. Wrong wording. I believe God is in this place and has prepped these people. It's no glory to me, but I will tell you, I was up over midnight crying before God for this body. And who would be in this place today that God would do exactly what his word says? It was not Peter and John. They were the vessel that was used to give forth such as they had. It is not Sheila Rue. It's only the vessel that God, I believe, is going to use in this place this morning to deliver such as I have. And it's only the name of Jesus and what he can do. And he can do all things. Don't limit him in this place. I said, don't limit God in this place this morning. We may be few in number, but I grant to tell you, God knew this day before this day ever even happened. Let's go on. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Have you ever prayed for something and prayed and thought about giving up, and yet the Holy Spirit said, no, just keep praying? And when the answer came, you tell your friends and you say, can you believe that? Can you believe what happened? Oh my, we are so greatly wondering and filled with amazement sometimes at what God does. And yes, we should be. But when we ask him, we have confidence that he can do what he says he can do. He's proven it so many times. I can't help but think back when the Israelites got to the Red Sea. It was sink or swim or die. They had no choices. They were up against a hard spot, or actually a watery spot. Only God. When Moses put his staff in the water, and the water, can you imagine? Okay, I'm greatly wondering right now with amazement. Can you imagine this water? You know what the ocean looks like. You know what the river looks like. Nothing stops it unless you dam it off completely. Nothing stops that water flow. Nothing stops the tide. And all of a sudden, in front of this great people behind him, God begins to go. Why? To deliver and set free his people. God did it for them. He is no respecter of person. I'm going to ask you to begin. I'm not finished, but I'm going to ask you to begin as you're listening, and please have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in this place today. Whatever you have need of in this place, God is here to meet it. Some in this place just need an answer. Some in this place are just desiring something from God. Some in this place are desperate. God knows the needs before we even ask. But He did tell us to ask, and we're going to do that today. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? I guess they were human like we are. Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our power or our holiness we had made this man to walk? No. No. It is not our strength. It's His strength. Least any man would boast. If we boast in anything, we boast in Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 4:7, if you would like to turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And I love this scripture. But we have, this is some more such that we have. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, let's reread that a little bit. But we have this treasure. Who is the treasure? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the Son of God is who we have. He is the treasure that we have once we've accepted Jesus. He is this treasure we have. But we have this treasure, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in earthen vessels. I suppose that means us. Us. We're made from dust. We are the earthen vessels. That when we allow God, He works in and through us. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me tell you how my Friday went. God's still talking to me, saying, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, but God, I'm not Pastor Dell. But God, I'm not whoever else you would want to talk about and speak their name that fills a pulpit every Sunday in the ministry, pastors of church. God reminded me, He's no respecter of person. He can use us wherever. So Friday morning, I knew that Briar had a, I'm only going to use you a little bit and I won't embarrass you, I promise. I knew Briar had his final physical therapy at 9:30. We had canceled it and rescheduled it from the Friday before because we were supposed to go February the 6th over to Green Mountain to play baseball. So I rescheduled it purposefully for that reason. They scheduled it at 9:30. So Briar and I, knowing it was going to be a busy day the rest of that day, and Saturday was going to be a doubleheader out at the baseball park, and I was still saying, God, I still really kind of need all of this for tomorrow morning or Sunday morning. And so we get there and Breyer goes in, he comes right back out and he says, they canceled my appointment. And I'm like, what? We drove basically 30 minutes from home for nothing. I make enough trips to town. See, at this point, I'm thinking it's all about me. Yeah. And so I call and I say, you canceled Breyer's appointment and you rescheduled him for 2:45 this afternoon. We live 30 minutes out of town. Well, he was a no-show. I said, no, he was not a no-show. I said there was a must have been a misunderstanding because I rescheduled him and the time was 9:30 this morning. Well, we can see if he can see someone else, but he needs to see this one particular person because she is the one that needs to discharge, to release him, that he's finished. I said, well, please just notate in there that he's not a no-show because that is not the truth. And I said, we will be back at 2:45. And I'm right by then, I'm huffing and I'm puffing because, again, I'm thinking it's all about me. Don't need to raise your hand. You guys, I know you're not like that. God's still working on me. Come on. So we drive. Oh, I see you chuckling. I'm thinking I'm hitting a nerve here. Somebody else? Somebody else? No, don't raise your hand. Excuse me. So we go home, which if we had to be here at 2:45, means we leave at 2:15. Trying to get him through school. Trying to do all the other things. No one, like I say, it's busy. It's busy Saturday. It's busy today. I'm sure it's busy tomorrow. I know it's busy Tuesday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Anybody got any alms for me? That would not fix it, sorry. So we leave. We come down. Oh, okay, wait, just to back up. I got to back up again a little bit. So the day before, I had taken Breyer to his annual physical, and they asked me if he wanted a couple shots, and I said, yeah, let's go ahead, not even thinking, oh, woe is me. Lord, help me. Well, they gave him a flu shot, so by the time we get home from the therapy appointment that had been canceled, he's feeling and looking like he has the flu, and I'm just, like, lamenting inside, like, God, I knew what was ahead of us. Why in the world did I have him have this flu shot? The poor kid's sick. I'm reading on the paper, and it says these symptoms can last 2 or 3 days, and these are the symptoms, and I'm just like, so I called Jerry. I prayed over Breyer. I called Jerry, and I said, oh, honey, guess what? Yeah, this is what's going on. He prayed over Breyer, and then he prayed over his wife. Thank you, honey. Thank you. And I sent Breyer to bed. I just said, just go to bed. You've got to get better. And anyway, long story short on that, when he woke up, he was better. And you know what? You can say what you want, but I don't think it was so much the sleep and the lot of liquids and maybe an ibuprofen. I believe it was God. And you know why I believe that? Because God was prepping my heart for today. So about 1:30, somewhere in there, I get a call from our insurance agent, and known the guy most of my life, went to school with him. I think he's 1 year older than me. And we're talking, and I said, how are you doing today? And he's like, oh, man, he said, I have a headache. He said, I know why I have a headache. It wasn't drinking, but it was eating some sweet stuff, which, by the way, can give you the same effect. And he said, I have this headache so bad I can't get rid of it. He said, I can't focus and I can't look at the screen. I don't know if you've been there, but that screen is an ugly thing in front of you when you have a headache. And the whole time the Holy Spirit's saying, pray for him. Pray for him. We finished the conversation about a lot of other stuff we needed to discuss. And we say goodbye. Whew. And the Holy Spirit says, you needed to pray for him. Man, I went straight back to the phone and I said, hey, the whole time we were talking, after you told me you had a headache, I said, God kept telling me to pray for you. Do you mind? He said, go for it. I prayed a very simple prayer. At the end, I said, God, I know this is a very simple prayer, but I also know that nothing is impossible with you. In Jesus' name, amen. See you later. Hung up. Did his headache go away? I don't know. I haven't talked to him. That's not my responsibility. When we give such as we have, it's up to God to do the work. Remember, it's not about us doing it. It's not of our power. It's of the excellency of the power of God and not of us. So we go to therapy, and I'm sitting there trying to focus and study. I tried to focus and study so many times, and I kept getting interrupted. You know why, I believe? Because the enemy did not want this to come forth. He's defeated. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I glance up, and I see this woman hovered over this older gentleman, her husband, and he has come out of the building, Grand River. I don't know if he was in therapy, I don't know exactly, but he was on oxygen and he had fallen down and he was a big man. So I ran over to help. There were some other people that had began to go that way, so I ran over to help. And people need the Lord. People need such as we have to give forth. We finally got a walker, got him up, got him in the vehicle, and I glanced over at his wife. And he was not a nice man, I will tell you. Nice acting man. And my heart broke for her. And I believe I did exactly what Jesus would have done had he been standing there. I put my arm around her and said, I believe you need a hug. But I went further and said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. Almost like there was a lifeline and she was drowning. And she was able to grab hold of something, whether she knows the ins and outs or not, of who Jesus is and what Jesus has and what Jesus has to offer. She needed that. That was no glory to me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That is what we are supposed to be doing as Christians, is giving such as we have to a world who is broken, that are lame, that are deaf, that are dumb, they can't speak. And God said, this is what I want you to do. It's like, you ever surrendered? He's going to win every time. And if you don't allow him to win, you're not going to feel very good. When I hung up from the real estate or the insurance agent, I was like, oh my goodness. And when I went back and corrected what I knew I was to do and was obedient to God, do you know how I felt? I felt good because such as I had, I gave to him. Obedience, it's huge. Let's go back to the lame man before. He had waited a long time. Some of us in this place have waited a long time for some things. He couldn't help himself. And we're in the same boat. You might say we're fellow sheepers because we all have needs and we can't help ourselves. If we could, it already would be done, let me tell you. He was seeking materialism to survive. This will help you survive. I don't know you'll live, but you will survive with this. He received something far greater that gave him life. Therefore, he got freedom from his past, healing for his present body, and joy for his future. Did you hear what I said? Freedom from his past. Who doesn't have a past? Excuse me. We all have a past. We either have need of or we have been healed in our present body. And because of Jesus Christ, we have joy for our future. He is our future. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, let's go for one more scripture in closing to Luke 4. Let's go to verse 14, and we're going to read through 21, and it says, Luke 4, 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book from the prophet of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." I believe today is the day. I believe that in this place there are needs that only Jesus. Oh, we may have gone to the doctor. We may have spent some of this trying to find some answers. But I believe Jesus is in this place this morning to do what he does, that he gets glory. And so right now, I'm going to ask you. The Holy Spirit has talked to you about something in your life, be it physical, any way, I'm not even going to go into that, any way that the Spirit has spoke to you. If you need a healing, if you need deliverance, if you, whatever you have need of, God already knows. He knows we are a needy people. And he came. He is the answer. He goes so far beyond this in our lives for what we have need of. I'm going to ask you to come forward to be prayed for.